Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, right here. Please stand and face our processional cross. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts, whereby you have given us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We hear the gospel story of the entry into Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now, if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, the people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace, shalom in heaven, and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Rabbi, order your disciples to stop.' But he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout aloud.'" And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in the glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
We sing.
Thank you.
Almighty God, whose dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. This through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. This through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Isaiah declares the foundational truth of monotheism. All truth and righteousness rest in one God and in no idol of our making. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Declare what is to be, present it, let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me. A righteous God and a Savior, there is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 22, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 3 in your bulletins. We will read responsively by verse. My God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer. By night as well, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forefathers put their trust in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and wag their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me out of the womb and kept me safe upon my mother's breast. I've been entrusted to you ever since I was born. You are my God when I was still in my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Glory be to the Father, this statement of faith is a rallying cry for the call of each disciple of Jesus Christ. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. When they reached a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
And he took Peter, James, and John with him. Horror and dismay came over him, and he said to them,
"My heart is ready to break with grief. Stop here and stay awake."
Then he went forward a little, threw himself on the ground and prayed, as if it were possible this hour might pass him by.
"Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
He came back and found them asleep, and he said to Peter,
"Asleep, Simon? Were you not able to stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake.
Once more he went away and prayed. On his return, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know how to answer him. The third time he came and said to them,
"Still sleeping? Still taking your ease? Enough, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed to sinful men. Up, let us go forward. My betrayer is upon us."
Suddenly, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared, and with him was a crowd, armed with swords and cudgels, sent by the chief priests, lawyers, and elders. Now the traitor had agreed with them upon a signal.
"The one I kiss is your man. Seize him and get him safely away."
When he reached the spot, he stepped forward at once and said to Jesus,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Then they seized him and held him fast. One of the party drew his sword and struck at the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. And then Jesus spoke,
"Do you take me for a bandit that you have come out with swords and cudgels to arrest me? Day after day I was within your reach as I taught in the temple, and you did not lay hands on me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
Then the disciples all deserted him and ran away. Among those was a young man with nothing on but a linen cloth. They tried to seize him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and ran away naked. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest's house, where the chief priests, elders, and doctors of the law were all assembling. Peter followed them at a distance right into the high priest's courtyard, and there he remained, sitting among the attendants, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and whole council tried to find some evidence against Jesus to warrant a death sentence, but failed to find any. Many gave false evidence against him, but their statements did not tally. Some stood up and gave false evidence against him to this effect:
"We heard you say, 'I will pull down this temple, made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not that many others.'"
But even on this point, their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up in his place and questioned Jesus. But he kept silent. He made no reply. Again, the high priest questioned him.
Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God and coming with the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
if we call further witnesses, you have heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?
Their judgment was unanimous, that he was guilty and should be put to death. Some began to spit on him, blindfolded him, and struck him with their fists, crying out,
"Prophesy!"
And the high priest's men set upon him with blows. Meanwhile, Peter was still below in the courtyard. One of the high priest's serving maids came by and saw him there warming himself. She looked into his face and said,
"You were there too, with this man of Nazareth.
Then he went outside onto the porch, and the maid saw him there again, and he began to say to the bystanders,
he was one of them too.
And he denied it again. And again a little later, the bystander said to Peter,
surely you are one of them. You must be. You are a Galilean.
At this he broke out in curses, and with an oath said,
I do not know this man you speak of.
Then the cock crew a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he burst into tears. As soon as morning came, the chief priests, having made their plan with the elders and lawyers in full council, put Jesus in chains, and they led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
are you the king of the Jews?
The words are yours.
And the chief priests brought many charges against him. Pilate questioned him again.
Have you nothing to say in your defense? You see how many charges they are heaping on you.
But to Pilate's astonishment, Jesus made no further reply. At the festive season, the governor used to release one prisoner at the people's request. As it happened, the man known as Barabbas was then in custody with the rebels who had committed murder at the rising. When the crowd appeared asking for the usual favor, Pilate replied,
do you wish me to release the king of the Jews?
For he knew it was out of malice that they had brought Jesus before him. But the chief priests incited the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas rather than Jesus. Pilate spoke to them again.
Then what shall I do with this man you call Jesus, the king of the Jews?
Crucify him.
Why? What harm has he done?
But they shouted all the louder,
crucify him.
So Pilate, in his desire to justify the mob, released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Then the soldiers took him inside the courtyard, the governor's headquarters, and called together the whole company. They dressed him in purple, and plaiting a crown of thorns, placed it on his head. And they began to salute him with,
hail, King of the Jews.
They beat him about the head with a cane and spat upon him, and knelt and paid mock homage to him. When they had finished their mockery, they stripped him of the purple and dressed him in his own clothes. Then they took him out to crucify him, a man called Simon, some Cyrene, and the father of Alexandra and Rufus, was passing him on his way in from the country. And they pressed him into service to carry his cross. Please stand. They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. He was offered drugged wine, but he would not take it. Then they fastened him to the cross. They divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should have. The hour of the crucifixion was 9 a.m, and the inscription upon the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. Two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. The passers-by hurled abuse at him, wagging their heads.
Aha! You stole the temple and built it in 3 days. Come down from the cross to save yourself.
So too, the chief priests and lawyers jested with one another.
He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross. If we see death, we shall believe.
Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. At midday, a darkness fell over the whole land, which lasted till 3 p.m. And at that, Jesus cried aloud,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders, on hearing this, said,
"Hark, hark, he is called Elijah."
A man ran with a soaked sponge and sour wine and held it to his lips on the end of a cane.
"Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and died. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing opposite to him saw how he died, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
It's my turn, isn't it? Is that right? Have you ever noticed in the Palm Sunday reading, you know, the entry into Jerusalem, that there's this reference to stones, right? Here, I'll bring these closer. Don't worry, I got to get my third one here. Did you ever know what to make about that?
No.
Well, maybe some of you are smarter than I. It's okay. I've never really thought about it. I always just love the image. Right? How does it go? It said, "Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, 'Rabbi, order your disciples to stop making a commotion.' And he said, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout aloud.'" Right? Now, I'm in the generation that grew up with Jesus Christ Superstar. Did you? I did. I remember it came out when I was a freshman in high school. And there's that line in there, the Hosanna song. "If every tongue was still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. Hosanna, Hosanna." You know, it goes on from there. I love that. Do you listen to stones? No? Occasionally? Good. I mean, do you ever spend any time just kind of, I mean, what do the stones have to say to us? I am a rock. Very good. I like that. Did you hear that? He said, I am a rock. Oh, let it rock. Okay. I was thinking of the Simon and Garfunkel. I don't know. What do you have to say to us today? I'm up here dying in front of the congregation. You better tell us something. Now, I got these stones. You know, you can tell that these come from where? Not the shore of the river. Which is it? From the river. Why? Because they're rounded off. When a river runs, the stones roll down the river and they rolls off their edges. These are part of the glacial moraine, right? You didn't know you were going to have a geology lesson today, did you? If these came from the shore, they would be flatter. Why? Because of the way the waves kind of wash them up and it wears them flatter. That's why you can go to the shore and skip stones on the water. Now, I have to admit, I'll confess, I stole these out of the Rocky River Reservation, and it's illegal to do that. If you give me up, I'm never coming back. But I love these. This is good. We only grabbed a few, and then we decided felt too guilty about stealing the stones. Well, the thing is, we live in a metropolitan area, and if everybody decided to take 10 stones, there wouldn't be any rocks left. Now, when I think of this, when I ponder, you know, why is there this reference to the stones? What is it that Jesus is aware of? What is it that Jesus, in his understanding of the cosmos, you know, and the world and himself, that he can say? One of the lines in the Psalms is, "Let the rivers clap their hands." You know, why do they have such an animated understanding of the created world, right? I'm thinking of the creation stories. And there's a line in the Hebrew scriptures that shows up a few times. You could translate it this way. It says, "The Lord has thrown down the foundations of the earth." I think usually in English it says, "He's laid the foundations of the earth." But that's a masonry term. And a better translation of the Hebrew is "thrown down." Do you know any masons? Do you ever watch bricklayers lay mud? Or lay the foundation. You know, you don't just kind of, you know, it's not dainty. You don't just lay it there, but you throw it on the brick, you know, and then you clean it off, and then you set it, and you lay down. You throw down the next layer of mud, right? And so there's this sense of that the foundations are thrown down, and they're thrown down with mud, and with stone, right? Remembering the little line we heard it. At least in the first service we did, it was the stone which the builders has rejected has become the chief corner stone, right? Have you ever tried to lay natural stone? You know, I did a little patio in the back, but what I cheated, I used the grinding wheel and I cut the corners off, you know, so it was nice and easy to lay. But when you're really working with nature stones, some stones just won't fit. But there's that whole imagery that the one that doesn't fit, the one that's rejected by the builders, the paradox, the mystery, that's the one that's become the cornerstone. Now, you know, my last name is, you know, I'm a Finnish person, like Shirley, you know, we got some Finnish background. And my last name is Kulma. And when you call Jesus the cornerstone, it sounds like this: Jesus is a Kulma Kivi, a cornerstone. So I was like that. I'm remembering that we're created from the dust of the earth. I'm sure there was some rock dust in there, the soil. God takes the dust of the earth, forms the being, and then breathes the breath of life into us. All right, we heard Jesus in the Psalm 22, "From my mother's womb, you know, you knew me. I was yours from the very beginning, from that first." I work in labor and delivery and maternity. And what does everybody wait for, right? When a baby is brand new born, what does everybody wait for? That first breath and that first cry. So we remember that we too are born from stone dust. What we're reminded of today is that the Lord has called forth the whole creation. And we're reminded that the earth is alive. The earth is alive, and it's filled with the being of the Creator. Now, the old Greek philosophies wouldn't let us say something like that. But as we know more and more, right, about the created universe, about the expanding universe, about the growth of human beings over 200,000 years, we know more and more that we live on a living planet, and that you and I live in interdependence with the whole creation. And if you want to know, it's on a quantum level, but even more than a quantum level. We live in relationship with the stones and the foundations of the earth. And we all are filled with that being and life and vitality. We'll hear also about stones, right? Jesus is laid later in a tomb that has been hewn out of the stone, hewn out of the rock. And then actually in Mark's gospel that we just heard, that we shared together, at the burial it says that he then rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, right? So when the stones are willing to shout and sing, we're reminded of many, many dimensions of our life in God, our life with one another, and how our life is built on the foundation of the cornerstone of Jesus' self-giving love. Now, that was a big sentence. I don't think I could repeat it. But our lives rest. Our lives rest on the foundation that has been thrown down. It's a Mason term. The foundation's been thrown down with stone and mud and dust and breath, and our lives each day walk upon those foundations, and that Christ is that foundation upon which our life, our being, our compassion is born and sustained. The whole creation is alive. And we live together in mutual life, support, and presence. Now, one last thought. Are you still with me? Have any of you left the room yet? You probably... I hope you're still with me. If not, come back. Come back. Now, here's the last point I want to make. It's not that, you know, if the disciples will all of a sudden become quiet, if they would, you know, hush up already. It's... We used to think that, well, if they were quiet, then the stones would start to shout and sing, right? That's the image that I've always heard. But the more I've lived with this, I've come to realize it's more a matter of you and I being quiet and peaceful and still, right? That's what shalom means, shalom, quiet, that quiet stillness and peace. When we settle down a little bit, now, the fancy term is sit down, shut up, and listen. But when we're quiet a little more and a little settled into that peacefulness, here's what happens. We become quiet and still enough to hear the song of the stones and to hear the fugue of the earth's foundation. Right? The stones and the whole living creation are talking to us all the time. What was the old line? The music of the spheres. The stones and the whole creation shine among us all the time, constantly. And often we're just not listening. We're drowning it out with other noise or distractions. And we're reminded today that the stones have been shouting to us all along. The whole creation speaks to us constantly with the living presence of the Creator. And it's on a day like today, when all of the distractions get removed, and we are brought to a place of peace, of stillness, and silence. If you just listen, you just might hear what the stones have to say to us today. And with that, we simply say amen. Let me put my return my stones to their place this morning. And then we'll gather our hearts and minds in prayer. You never had a preacher bring stones into Palm Sunday before, have you? Well, you go.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 3, which can be found on page 4 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, especially Pastor Jim, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
We ask for healing and recovery for those on Advent's prayer list. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved your heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Congregation, please stand. May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
Greet one another with words of peace.
Okay, why don't you stay right here? Okay, you can start. So we're happy to have Jim Kuhlma back with us. As I said at the 8 o'clock service, he came back from Florida to 39 degree weather and rain. And what was it in Lauderdale?
83 and sunny.
83 and sunny. So he's a man of God, he's a servant. He's come back to take care of us, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday.
I'm an idiot for coming back.
You're an idiot for coming back, yes. Thank you for being an idiot.
No, I'm very happy.
Thank you, Jim. Marilyn. While Marilyn's coming up, let me remind you, Peter would like these bulletins back, or inserts, or guides, or whatever they are. So please turn them in at the back as you exit the church.
During communion, the song, "Were You There?" has three verses in the bulletin. That's 1, 2, and 4. We're singing the whole thing. The choir is singing verse 3. And the Tenebrae service, which is listed in the bulletin as the 19th Friday, it is on the 17th of April, 4:17. That is a Wednesday. That is at 8 o'clock, and that's at St. Joseph's Church in Avon Lake. It's 32929 Electric Boulevard. Thank you.
So today's Church in Babylon series is a long one, and I may need John Crothall's counsel as to whether we try to split this into two or not. But today's planned discussion is on New Age spirituality and sexual preference. So if you haven't come to any of the prior sessions, you're certainly welcome to come. There's no need to have been here before. We welcome you to come and join us. You know, one of the blessings of having Art Decker involved in these meetings and discussions is that he always challenges me with, what's that mean? So we're going to start out with a definition, Art, of what does New Age spirituality mean? And we'll go from there. So please join us for that discussion starting right after the service in the Sunday School wing. Also this week, obviously, is Holy Week. We have services on Thursday night at 7:30, Maundy Thursday service, and Good Friday service also at 7:30 on Friday, Stations of the Cross. We're blessed to have Jim Kulma join us for both of those services as well as on Sunday. So please plan to make Maundy Thursday and Good Friday 7:30 at Advent a part of your week schedule prior to Easter on Sunday. There will be someone to pray with you and back during communion. We have some parishioners who are in special need of prayer, so hold them up for healing at this time. Yes, please. To God be the glory, Joni.
We now receive our tithes and offerings, a sacrifice to the Lord.
My lips lift my eyes on
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For our sins he was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. And by his suffering and death, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now let us gather all these prayers and praises as we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is prepared.
the blood of Christ.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus our Lord. Amen. In this holy week, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May Christ go before you to show you the way. May Christ go beside you to befriend and companion you. May Christ go beside you behind you to empower and encourage you. May Christ go above you to watch over and protect you. And may Christ go in each of your hearts to grant you shalom, peace. Amen. This concludes our observance of the Sunday of the Passion. Depart in silence and go in peace.
this stays up